Gotta leave it right square.
Oh, we got more music. Okay, he's gonna rip off on a little guitar riff there, and we got Mike on the board. So, Mike, I don't know if you and I have worked on this show or not. I know we've worked in the daytime before, so glad to have you back there, man in the helm. Roger Sales with you on the Radio Ranch RBN Republic Broadcasting Edition, filling in for the late and great Ralph Winterout. Happy to be here. Happy to have you listeners out there and step into an audience that Ralph worked so hard to build for so many years. So maybe I can give you a new wrinkle or two. Anyway, that's what we're here for. And, of course, it's the date, the 7th of August. When I was just looking at that, August, some pretty important stuff's happened in August. Some pretty important stuff's probably going to happen in August this year. But I was particularly thinking about next Monday, it appears, I guess, without looking at the calendar, next Monday is the 15th. And that was the day that shall live in infamy, the day Nixon closed the gold window. And we've been floating fiat ever since, and boy, are they taking advantage of it. And so next week, we'll probably talk more about that next Sunday. Little soliloquy, I'd love to talk with you all tonight. Of course, last week I had my broadcast partner, Brent Winters, on, and I wanted to try and get a base laid with some of you on his incredible amount of expertise in the area of the common law. And so didn't ask for calls. I figured it might take up the whole 2 hours, but I know some of y'all are used to me taking calls. I understand that. And so we had some calls waiting there before we could ever even get through the subject matter. And, of course, you can't talk about the common law without talking about spirituality, because the connections are right there. That's for the wellhead from which it flows and the wellhead to which it goes back to. And the first caller was Rich from Washington, and he took Brent's comments on spirituality, and he's obviously some kind of metaphysical guy, and called in and went over, no, there's no Christ, there's no God, and all that stuff, no religion. I'm not a big religious supporter. I'm a spiritual supporter. All the religions, organized religions, have been totally compromised. I don't know of any out there that haven't been, to some extent, some greater, obviously, than others. Anything under the World Council of Churches has been compromise, my opinion. So Rich called in and went over some stuff and wanted to go over that in depth, which is a subject we weren't talking about. We're not talking about eschatology. We're talking about common law, okay? But you can't talk about common law without taking it back to biblical roots, because it's nature and nature's God, okay? And so in the middle of that, Rich read us a passage. And the situation, some of you remember if you're listening last week, the situation was there was a technical glitch. Mike and Brent couldn't hear his question. And so he's real lucky Brent didn't hear his question, because Brent takes that stuff real seriously, and he probably may have exploded on you, Richard. So it's just as good that he didn't hear it. And then you read a passage from one of your sources, metaphysical sources, and I was going to comment on it. I caught it when you read it, but there was so much going on with the technical problems and stuff, I didn't get to it. And so I wanted to address it tonight. Two times in whatever you read us, I don't remember what it was, the source, the term Judeo-Christianity was used. Well, right there, when you used that with that term, you totally discounted anything the guy had to say to me, okay? And I wish I could have brought that up, where it was more timely last week. But I wanted to go over it a little bit. I don't know if any of you are familiar with a guy named Pastor Ted Weiland. His website, I should give Ted some press if you're not. He's an excellent writer. And I don't agree with Ted on everything, but his early books, the one that I was real familiar with, is a masterpiece. I should promote it a little bit for you folks. His website is missiontoisrael.org. Mission to, spelled out, missiontoisrael.org. Ted was a rodeo guy, and he was going to a rodeo in Colorado, and somehow gotten, there was a car wreck, a collision, and he, his whole area of his pelvis got thrown into the shift knob, and it retired him from radio, and he got into studying and writing. He's a very spiritual guy. But Ted's book that moved me so much, and I have met him personally, by the way, and had dinner with him several times in Atlanta. Really, really nice guy. And so Ted's, to me, his opus was a book that's entitled, and you can get it on his website, and any of you got any questions in this area, boy, I'll tell you what, that's a definitive source right there, okay? And the name of the book I'm referring to is God's Chosen People, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And, of course, he's a Christian identity guy, okay? And what Ted does in the meat of the book there is take all of these complex issues, and he breaks them down where you, the reader, have the option, your decision, okay? And he'll have on one part, he'll have all the Jewish sources on the topic, and then on the other part, he'll have the Christian and the Gentile sources on the topic. And this one thing I gave, of course, had that book highlighted and dog-eared, which if you get one, you'll have it that way too. And I lent it to somebody and naturally never got it back. But out of all the things in there, and it's a marvelous book, there's 55 pages of references and small print on there. And one of the great advantages the book has with all of these topics that interest us so much is he's got a cross index in the back, cross reference. So you can go back to the word you're looking for, and then he quotes all the quotes in the book where it's listed. Okay, and so it's a really handy tool. But the one thing that stuck in my mind as I was talking about Richard's comment that he read us last week was a comment in the Judeo-Christianity part, and it was by a Jewish guy. I don't remember the name. It's been many years ago since I read it, but I remember the quote. And he said, "The term Judeo-Christianity is the greatest public relations hoax of the 20th century." Those are his words, not mine. Okay, so Richard, when you use stuff with Judeo-Christianity in it, you've lost me from the start, okay? I don't want to get a phone call and discuss this. We're not here to discuss eschatology, but I wanted to make this point, okay? These people are not the people of the book, and I believe I can prove it to you pretty simply, really. If you go back to Genesis and it follows over into part of Numbers, I believe, and there's pages and pages and pages and pages of so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then they begat a whole bunch more. Every one of those are men. You're only a Jew if your mother was a Jew, and that's the only way you get the right to return to Israel. So if any of you have any idea how they are the people of the book and not imposters, well, I'd be interested to hear your reasoning on that. Okay, so that's out of the way. So, Richard, your quote with Judeo-Christianity, you might going to want to go back and look at that in light of that information. Secondly, we're going to have a new resource here for you pretty soon, I'm real happy to say. By the way, I'm going to take calls the rest of the hour. If any of you want to go ahead and get in line, you're welcome to. The number is 512-248-8252. You probably know it by heart, like I've learned it by heart at this point. So if you got any questions or whatever, we'd like to concentrate on what we do here and not get off. This isn't an eschatology or religious service, but you can't look at the law in this situation without going back to the spiritual roots, because it's a spiritual battle. Okay, and if you can't get that connection, you probably don't need to be looking at the freedom information, because that is the whole part of it, really. And so we're going to have some new information available for those of you that really want to study in this and want to learn it. I got students that just can't get enough. You know, I want to learn everything. I want to learn everything. And it warms my heart when I hear that, because that's the way I was. Well, there's somebody. So that's the way I was when I started, you know. And so back in the early days, 30 years ago, I feel like the Beatles song, it was 30 years ago today and just about 30 years ago today, when I crossed paths with John and Glenn. And they'd only been my teachers. They'd only been teaching a few months. I was lucky enough to catch them at the front end because they didn't get to let them teach much longer. About 6 months later, they were raided all three offices by CIDIRS, busted in, held them on the floor at gunpoint with Glocks to their head for 8 hours, took all the files, computers, work product, etc. But in that period of time, in the 6 months that I was, I wasn't even involved with them 6 months, I don't think, but maybe four, five. But in that period of time, they wrote a book. And it doesn't have any of my stuff in there because we didn't know it yet. You know, their emphasis was tax and all this background on feudalism and all this background is so important to understand. Got to have good basics. When you learn the basics, anything's easy, okay? And that's what this book's about. And I literally had totally forgotten about it. I remember they put it out, wrote the book. It was a big deal, and they asked the students for a title, and somebody came up with the United Slaves of America, and that's what it was titled. And there were a limited run because back in those days there weren't any self-publishing outfits, and everybody had to go pay and get the thing, you know, boxes of books, however many you thought you were going to sell, and get the best printing deal and have boxes of books sitting in your garage. Hopefully you didn't have them there years later, but some people did, okay? And so they put that book out, and I promise you, I had totally slap forgotten about it. It hadn't even crossed my mind in years that was available. And one of our good, you know, one of our good type A lionesses out there in California, Paget found it online somewhere, used one, of course, and purchased it. And that's how I got my memory jogged on it. And so she paid almost $200 for it. All right. And so Paget was gracious enough to loan us the book. And we had a listener in Nashville, Chris, who works for a big law firm there that have real high quality scanners. And just this week, Chris got that book scanned in. And so it's going to get mailed back to California. And I got somebody that's going to put it up on the book patch for me with a publishing background. And so I think probably within a month, but let's just say within a month, I'll be able to tell y'all that you can go order this book. We're not going to price it high. We're going to discount it because the information is just so important, and everybody's having problems. You know, we're not in this to make money, all right? But that is going to be available, so you have a little more background on the basics here, the feudalism and the tax system and all those kind of things. Quite frankly, I haven't even seen the book in almost 30 years. I've kind of forgotten what's in there, but I know it's real basic, and I remember it's real good. And so just to make the announcement, I'll be telling you probably in a couple of weeks that United Slaves of America is available for purchase, and many of you are probably going to want to buy it. I'd also like to put some sort of a little discount deal in there where if you buy 10 books or more, you get a little bit deeper price. So we'll see as it goes along, but I think that's real important. I was really excited about it, that it all came together the way it has, and I want to thank all the people involved, Paget and Chris and the others on the periphery and that have helped us bring this project to the forefront. So that's exciting to me. Mike, I think a caller came in. Who we got on the line there?
It is Stephen in Central Oregon.
Stephen in Central Oregon. How are you doing today, Stephen?
Blessings to you, Roger. I just sincerely want to thank you for protecting your liberty by trying to protect mine.
Yes, sir.
I can hear your sincerity every time you crack up and you know you get choked up. I just want to appreciate your sincerity.
Thank you. This okay. Information, it moves me, man. It moves me.
I understand that, and I didn't mean to crack you up now. I have a kind of a philosophical question. I got all kinds of questions. I should probably get on Jitsi. But the question is pertaining to freedom of association and freedom of thought. If we have freedom of association and we have freedom of thought, please explain to me why I should have to think like these courthouses.
Well, hopefully, if you've got your affidavit filed, you won't have to think like a courthouse because you'll never see the inside of one.
Well, hopefully I won't, but if I have to sue the people that aren't doing their proper job...
Ah, well, that's a difference. You know, there's a big difference.
Then I will have to go in...
Right.
Then I'll have to go into court and I'll have to think like them, right? I'll have to associate with them.
Well, you know, as I say, you've got to know how they think. You don't have to think like them, but you got to know how they think. Okay. Now, if that situation, this hypothetical situation you're posing here should occur, there's one real important thing that switch is in that event, you'll be the plaintiff and you won't be the defendant.
Right.
Now,
right,
in that status, with that also comes the burden of proof.
Right.
Okay. So, on the defendant side, if you've done things properly here, you should never, ever see the inside of a courtroom. But it just breaks my heart what I've seen in this Alex Jones trial in the last week or so. I mean, every attorney in the country goes, that's the biggest travesty of justice in the whole history of the United States of America right there. And it is, okay? But it gives you a little indication in how desperate these people are. What happened in that trial, all the travesties that came down, that's the act of desperate people. Okay. Now, here's something else I heard last night that adds to that. A little short thing over on BitChute, and some guy's saying, they're scared as hell. How do I know? They're calling a conference at the United Nations and issuing a booklet on how to deal with quote-unquote conspiracy theories.
Yes, well, I know the UN had put out a new a bulletin about that and had, a conference about how we have to stop these conspiracy theories.
And they can't. See, they can't even shut down Alex Jones with a rigged trial that's the riggedest trial anybody's ever seen. They can't even do that.
Yep, so, I got another question for you.
Okay, good.
I don't know if you said this, but I think you said there are only two statuses. You know, either you're free or you're a slave, right?
Well, there's two of those statuses. I've come to understand we got three political statuses.
Okay. And
Well, let me just finish for the rest of the audience so we don't leave them hanging. Okay. The first one was a state citizen. And it was only, there was no federal citizenship for the first 90 or almost 90 years of the country. You only were a state citizen. And you can go back to Chief Justice Story, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, very celebrated gentleman, and Chief Justice Story's commentaries on the Constitution. And there's a sentence in there that says, a citizen of the state is ipso facto a citizen of the United States. Now, back in those days, turn of the 1800s, early 1800s, there wasn't two statuses. So there wasn't a dialectic or an equivocation to deal with, and everybody shortened the United States of America to the United States because there was no other option, and they all knew what they were talking about. Okay, so for the first 90 years of the country or so, you had state citizens. Then we had the war to bring in the civil law, as one of my students so accurately puts it. And though we had two, we had the Jim Crow and we had Whitey, okay? But then to hide the change from a state citizen to a national, they put in a third political status, the American Samoans. Because they're a separate political status. They're born nationals, but they got to naturalize to be 14th Amendment citizens. And they're not happy about it either down there, Stephen. They've taken two court cases. One went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they denied certiorari on this about 10 years ago. And the other one was fairly recent out of Salt Lake City. And this was interesting because there's evidently a whole bunch. There's a big American Samoan community in Utah, probably because the Mormons are so good at prophesizing. Okay, so a bunch of them move from American Samoa and go to Utah, and when they get to Utah, they got limitations because they are not U.S. citizens, they're only nationals. Now Mike is going to interrupt us with some music. He's going to try and pay some bills, and you hold our thought, and we'll cover this and pick it up on the other side, Stephen.
Okay.
Hold on there.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
All right, let's see if we can get back with Stephen here and continue the program. Stephen from Oregon. Stephen, what part of Oregon are you in, by the way?
Oh, I'm in the same city as Benson, the Elodial title guy.
Oh, okay. You mean Ron Gibson?
Yeah, Gibson. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I got one of my students. One of my students is out there visiting him right now. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you don't live in the Portland area. I feel sorry for those people. Okay. I can imagine. The three political statuses, well, there was two, the state citizen and the federal citizen, and then to hide and cover up the name change from state citizen to national, they put in this group, American Samoans. And that was done around 1900. I don't know if you're familiar with a group of cases the Supreme Court heard, and it was one of these things where there's so many of them, they lump them in together, and they call them the insular cases. Have you ever heard of those, Stephen?
I have not. I'm a newbie.
Okay. Well, listen, you can look this up in Wikipedia, amazingly enough. One of those cases was a case called Downs v. Bidwell, just like it sounds, Downs v. Bidwell. And if you'll go over to Wikipedia and put Downs v. Bidwell in, a little ways down in the article, they give you the background on the case, of course, and in there is a quote from one of the great justices that's ever served on the Supreme Court in our country, in my opinion, named John Harlan. John Harlan was a distinguished jurist on the Supreme Court, and they even had a nickname for him called the Great Dissenter, because he's always dissenting, okay? He's dissenting in every key case. Plessy versus Ferguson, dissent. U.S. versus Wong Kim Ark, dissent with Chief Justice Fuller. In this case, Downs v. Bidwell, he was in the dissenting opinion, too. Most of our patriot people always read the affirmative opinion. They don't read the dissent. The dissent's where a lot of the goodies are, okay? So in Downs v. Bidwell, I'm going to paraphrase the great dissenter here, and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, we have two sets of governments at the bar. We have one which is under our Constitution. We've got this other one which mimics almost exactly all the monarchies of Europe. It'll be a sad day if this country ever goes that direction, and that's exactly, of course, where we've gone. But so he saw it in the dissenting opinion in Wong Kim Ark. They came out and him, those two dissenting, realized from their background that it was the feudal system. And there's a blurb in there where they lay it out and said, this is the feudal system. It's the relationship of a liege man to a liege lord. Okay, that's feudal terms. So then to hide this change, they went over and gave American Samoa was incorporated into the U.S. territory system in about 1900. Today, it's the only unincorporated in a little island called Swains Island. Those two are the only unincorporated territories in the entire federal system. Why? So they could leave them with their natural rights, so they could call them non-citizen nationals, because they've got access to the common law just like the state citizen did. So there's three separate statuses. And one, the third one, was designed to hide the change in the subterfuge and change in the name on the first one. Does that help you out at all?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much. One last question.
Okay, all of you, you ought to go to Wikipedia and read that dissent from the great John Harlan. Boy, it speaks volumes. Tells you exactly what was going to happen. Go ahead. What's your next one?
Resident and jurisdiction. Here's an example, and I want you to try and help me. We got illegals on our border coming over, and they get caught. They get sent back, and then they get caught again over here. Then they put them in jail.
And then they let him out the next day in Soros DA territory.
Yeah, well, that's true. But some of them are, like, if they do commit crimes over here, right? They get put in jail. So I'm trying to figure out where the jurisdiction comes from.
Well, the jurisdiction's not here. That they've committed capital crimes, and you're going back to common law, and this is a common law coming through the system because there's some sort of an injured party, drunk driver, rape, whatever all the crap is they're doing, and they're doing it all, okay? So that is where you have committed a crime. Another person is wrong. That's common law stuff. Those aren't man-made laws. Those are nature's God laws.
I gotcha.
Okay, now this is
interesting.
Let me add something, because you bring up all these issues. Okay. You know why they're not vaccinating any of those people?
Yes, I do. Liability.
They have not. Pfizer has not signed a deal with their country of origin, and they don't want to jab them and have liability. Stephen's exactly correct. Yet they'll bring them let them run around and mingle with you guys all day long.
Yeah, and they'll let Pfizer come in here and do all that damage to all our Americans, and I have a big problem with that.
Me too. Some of that's about to stop. They're getting exposed real big time. Robert Barnes has got what may be the biggest whistleblower case in the history of the country. They got a Pfizer whistleblower that was in the manufacturing process, and that trial's in process now over in Waco.
Yep. Pfizer says, oh, we didn't commit fraud because the government knew, and, they're part of it, so they said it was okay.
Right. They okayed it, so we couldn't have committed fraud even though we lied to them. Right, Pfizer.
Okay, one last question.
Hold the question. You're not going to get it out. Mike's got an itchy trigger finger again. I'll see you in a minute, Stephen.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
All right, let's get back to business here. Mike, back to business. Back to business. Back to business. Shout out to the EZ-Off guys, by the way. Steven from Oregon's with us, and he was asking us something about residency. And before you launch off into your next question during the break, I had a chance to think on that a little bit, Steven. And I wanted to add, since you're new, there's other new folks here, this term resident, I believe, is the key term to the whole New World Order scheme. Okay. Because that allows them to cast a wide net. And by what I mean is, of course, I've traveled a little bit internationally the last 15 years. I lived in Argentina for 9 years, and I'm up here in Ecuador now. And I understand the importance of that word, because every country you're in wants you to be one of them. Why? Because that means their local laws apply to you. Okay? I'll give you an example. When I was in Argentina, I was illegal about 8 years that I was down there. Hell, I even had that horrible accident down there. And in that whole trial and everything, it never came up that I was illegal there one time, okay? Which kind of shocked me, really. But regardless, if you're down there, and let's say you get pulled over or you get one of these traffic stops where they're checking stuff, you know? And so all you do is pull up there. Most of those cops don't speak any English. And all you have to say is turista. And they wave you right through, man. They don't ask for nothing because you're not a resident and they can't tag you with their laws. Okay? Now, the original origin of this, and you can find it on the web if you search deep enough. It's on there. I saw it a while back. The original way it came about and the way that they're using it comes from ambassadorial law, where countries exchange ambassadors, sign a treaty, a contract, and they exchange ambassadors. And so the ambassador that's coming to the U.S. from whatever country is considered in residence. So what that means is the laws of the U.S. don't apply to them. The laws of their native country apply to them. So it's very interesting how they're using it here, because you're in a state and they're asking you if you're a resident, you not knowing what they're asking you, thinking it means, do you live here? Go, yes. And what it really means is you're under the laws of Washington, D.C. So that's how they're tying you in. And they throw the broad net with the resident, because that catches all the green card people, not just citizens.
Got it?
Okay, what's the question you have?
All right, one last question, and it concerns proving. I know the affidavit, I guess, is a higher form of proof, but what I'm trying to do is prove that I'm a national, so the big boys can't say blah blah blah.
Okay.
You're a U.S. and I'm wondering if anybody has done a FOIA with the department and gotten back to you with the proof that they got from the Secretary of State.
And it wasn't one of my people. The guy is now. He's adhering to what we teach. But previously, he was a David Strait student. And I think David Strait has a 31-page affidavit. Okay, and by the way, if you've used one of those, it's got terms like sovereign citizen stuff in it. You don't want to use. You want to purge that from your vocabulary. Okay.
Only if you're only if you're the queen.
Right.
If you're the queen.
Or you've already filed, you can say, the best thing to do is use their terms, because that's the key to the matrix.
Right.
But I've got a couple of people that are in process, have applied for a FOIA. So let's just tell the audience, a lot of our people, they want to see the green return receipt requested back. They're all antsy till that gets back, And technically, once you put that document in the mail, it's considered received, just like the IRS does to you. Okay. So, great. You get the green card back. Some of the green cards we've been getting back, by the way, are stamped with diplomatic mail pouch. How about that? Think that might be proof? Think your affidavit might be headed in the right direction there? Okay. So at my experience in all these years, 11 and a half years helping people do this, the bureaucracy, by and far the most part, does the right thing. They know what they're supposed to do and they operate. That's my experience. Okay. But a lot of people look at their cards and they want to go back to that list of numbers in the internal State Department thing and see if it's got an 09 or whatever. And we've had people identified as 09. Technically, 09 is a non-citizen national American Samoan. If you're American Samoan and you get a passport, there's a big stamp in your visa page that says this person's not a citizen of the United States. Did you know that? Okay.
I did because you've told me before.
Well, it differentiates them when anybody opens up the visa pages, And so people are looking for those numbers. We've had 09 on there. That is technically, from what I can tell, in the field over there, it's got U.S. national, and then down below it, it's got non-citizen national. So they're using both statuses there, okay? And we've had people come back with 77. That's an ambassador at large. I had a guy tell me he had a guy, he works for agencies, and he had a friend with a top security clearance who ran his profile, and he said, I came back as a diplomatic courier. Okay? So we've had all these different answers on the identification through their internal numerical system on the passport card. It may be in the book, but I don't know how to find it. It's a little more complicated than the card. Okay? But the absolute, if you're laying awake at night, Stephen, has my affidavit hit my administrative file? Okay. For one thing, if you do it with a passport application, they virtually got to put it in there. Okay? Because they tell you got the choice in the passport application, and if they don't, they're derelict of their responsibilities and duties. Okay? So that should be a little insurance for you. And but if you want to really sleep soundly at night without melatonin, L-tryptophan, or cliff-high sleep stuff, You want to wait a little bit, give them a little time. You know how the bureaucracy works, and do a simple Freedom of Information Act request. It may cost you a couple of bucks. Every agency has a Freedom of Information Act officer. That's who you'll contact. That's who you'll send your request to. Now, caveat, when you do it, you've got to be specific in your request to documents. You got to tell them something like, all documents pertaining to or associated with citizenship evidence. Okay? All documents related to or associated with passport application processing. Okay? So you go in with specifics. We had some guys, send me all the documents in my administrative file. And they wrote back and said, that's a non-responsive request. You weren't specific enough. Okay, so go in specific,
gotcha. Go
and do a FOIA. It's very easy to do. You can find directions on how to do it online. And if you've ever heard of Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch, all of their work is done with FOIAs, all of it. And they've been real successful at it too, by the way. And they'll do a FOIA and they'll say non-responsive to your request, and they'll do another FOIA on another topic and get the documents that they said weren't there. Okay? So you got to distrust the FOIA people a little bit too, you know, honestly. But if you'll go in on a simple request on your administrative file with specificity, I believe you'll find that it's in there. The guy that had his, that 31-page David Strait opus, he did a FOIA, and by gosh, it was in there. Okay.
Okay.
So does that ease your troubled mind a little bit, Stephen?
Oh, you always ease my troubled mind because you bring such freedom loving information, Roger.
I'm way ahead of you guys. I've had my freedom since 2007, and buddy, I'm like Patrick Henry. You better jealously guard that jewel, okay? And I do. And I'm trying to increase my insurance by helping folks like you find yours. Now, when you do, now you've got the monkey on your back, because the only way you can protect your liberty is to help others protect theirs. And now we get exponential growth out of this, see? And that's why I've gone to such pains and so striving for so many years to get this very complex topic simple enough where people can understand it and regurgitate it and pass it on. When we can get that duplication factor, we got something going, okay?
Yep. And I want to leave you with one short quote, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Roger. And the quote is from Colonel Mandelhouse.
Oh.
In his quote, that he talked about Lee, you know, the feudal system implementing it here. He says, not one man in a million will figure it out. And I think you are one of those one in a million.
It's only because I was blessed and I had John W. Benson as a teacher. And if I wouldn't have known the feudal system, I probably wouldn't be able to put it together like all these other people have it. Okay. In all honesty, credit where credit's due. Now, if I've added my part here, because they didn't know what we know now. If we would have, in those 6 months when they were doing the, what do they call it, the election, where you go and reelect in the IRS, and they had us send our affidavits to the IRS Philadelphia Service Center, see? And that's why they got in so much trouble, and that's why we got $500 frivolous filing penalties, or $5,000 now. But you see, if we'd have known back then to send it to the Secretary of State first, Stephen, we may live in a different world. I'm not kidding you, the impact of that could have been that serious.
Yep, and blessings to you, Roger. I'm signing off.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. I appreciate the compliments and the attaboys, and they'll have to kill me to stop me.
Right on.
I'm after these sorry bastards, okay? I mean, big time. I want them. I want to see them hang. Hanging what they deserve. There ain't no jail time. There ain't no court sentences. They've already convicted themselves. When you submit that application, that affidavit, and they stand mute, they've convicted themselves right there.
Blessings, okay? Brother.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. I'll talk to you again soon, hopefully, okay? Come join us on The Daily Show. Okay, Mike, I think you said Marcus is next, right, from Idaho?
Go.
Well, bring Marcus front and center.
I'm right here, sir.
Hey, Marcus.
And I identify as an illegal alien in America because I no longer
see America as American. The globalists have taken over this nation with the steal of our elections. And this Alex Jones trial, it is we are totally seeing that they front and center, that they have reconfigured what it means to be an American and a citizen. And so I consider myself an illegal alien, so I don't need to take no dang shot.
Well, you're an alien. You can be a non-resident alien. It's even better.
Well, no, I'm just an illegal alien. I was born here, but I was born in the United States that no longer exists.
Oh, so, no. The United States, no, Marcus, I'm sorry I got to correct you. The United States you were born into is the one we're living in right now. It's just got progressively worse. And all the bad stuff didn't start with immigration and this other stuff. It started on March the 9th, 1933, when they switched the system and put all of us into this condition.
It started a long time ago. It started long before that.
It was building. Hold on, Marcus. It was building up to that, but the system changed on March the 9th, 1933. Before that, we were free. After that, we're enslaved.
And so, you know, what I've got to say is on this trial with Alex Jones, we should call that Helm's Deep. Named Helm's Deep.
I've never seen a travesty such, especially in a courtroom, and it's going to come back on him. I agree with Robert Barnes. You see, Alex Jones wasn't on trial. The federal judiciary system was on trial, and they were proven guilty.
True, but they were proven guilty in the steal that happened. They're proven guilty in their trial for the January 6th people. They're proven guilty
right.
Every time that they say a patriot is the enemy of the state.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They are proven guilty because they are goblins. That's why I'm saying this should be Helm's Deep, because the goblins are the bone has been thrown down into the goblin pit, and they are coming out, and they're going to overwhelm everyone.
That's right. Well, you know what, Marcus? I think the plain fact of the matter is, if we could have gotten this information to any of those 100-plus people that are now in that incarceration hell, they wouldn't be there, okay? So that's how important this is. Alex Jones wouldn't have been in that courtroom if he didn't tell him he's a citizen of the United States. If he would have been a national, they couldn't have brought all those charges against him because they weren't true, okay? So you may think you're an illegal alien, and if you haven't gone through this process, I can understand that. But you can free yourself from that.
Your choice. The judge said, just because you think things are true to Alex Jones doesn't mean they are true. Just because you think just because I think I'm a legal alien, maybe that does mean it's true.
I'm not going to argue with it. If you want to consider yourself an illegal alien, go ahead, man. Make my day, you know.
Well, my family's been here since 1500, so I'd have a hard time proving it. But
yeah, I understand. Well, my family came over on the Mayflower, so we've been here a long time too.
Yeah. So I mean, what I have to say, I mean, this whole gay agenda, just because people think that they were born gay, and just because people think that they change their gender, they are male or female, take those judges' words. Just because you think you are saying the truth doesn't mean that's the truth.
Well, I know you got to dig down and find it, okay? But let me tell you what, I hate the use of that word because they've bastardized the damn good word gay. They're sodomites, okay? Let's call them what they are.
Well, sure. And being gay would be just a joyous thing, huh? Right?
Yeah, you can tell how joyous they are, can't you? Going around giving each other monkey pox and doing all the demented crap they do. Doesn't sound too gay to me.
Yeah, monkeypox. The CDC has changed the definition of monkeypox, the name
of course.
It. It's now called syphilis.
Oh, yeah, right. It's called scam. 98% of the people that have been diagnosed are sodomites. Okay. Now the bad thing is you got two or three young boys that have ended up with it in the mouth, along their genitals, and in their anus. Now that is criminal.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes,
so
is.
Marcus, you got another point to make? I got a couple of people piled up here behind you, brother.
You go ahead and take them. I just think Helm's
okay.
Deep is the Helm's Deep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, right. Thank you, Marcus. Oh, let me ask, what part of Idaho are you in out there?
Teton Valley.
Oh, one of my favorite spots in the world. I skied that mountain numerous times. Skied Targhee. I love that area. I love it.
Stop telling people about it. We don't need anybody else here.
I know. Well, you know, if I wouldn't have moved to South America, that's probably where I'd ended up, is out there in Jackson. I really love that little town.
Yeah,
so thanks a lot, Marcus. You're a lucky man to live there, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, goodbye.
Thank you, Marcus. Okay, who's next, Mike?
Ken in Texas.
Ken in Texas. Come on, Ken.
Roger, how you doing?
I recognize that voice.
Well, you've touched on this several times already on your show today, but I'm attempting to take the wheel from those who are trying to drive the narrative in that AJ would most likely not be in the position he's in if he had filed his affidavit.
I believe that.
To further that point, and I know you've mentioned this before, but you contacted him over and over and over again, sent him your book and emailed him and all those things. Is that not correct?
That's correct, but I understand why he had blinders on. That was a long time ago, and I can't slight somebody because I put this information in front of so many people, Ken, that I've got the same reaction of. He's not by any means anything exclusive, okay?
Right, but it's not an injunction against him. It's against those who haven't filed their affidavit to try to get them to wake up to the fact that they need to file their affidavit so that they can protect themselves from such a situation as that. It's just trying to use that as a learning tool to go ahead and file your affidavit and remove yourself from that possibility.
Ken,
the point I was trying to drive home.
On this AJ situation, and I've thought about it a long time, many times over the years. I've been real frustrated about it. I heard his listeners call in, and one of them went to the point of spelling my last name, and he dispelled it, okay? And I understand. I'm not faulting AJ. But, you know, it may be all this stuff's in God's timing, not ours, okay? And it may be that he held this in reserve and that we're going to get this thing accelerated and everything tension even more and more people paying attention, especially after what he's been through. I guarantee he's going to have a lot of listeners never heard of him or listened to him before after the publicity that trial's gotten worldwide, okay? So it may be in the great plan that the big guy is waiting until that situation, then he's going to pop it, and I'm going to throw a match right into that pool of gasoline, buddy. And then our adversary's got big problems. They start getting 10, 20 million of these things up there at the State Department, they got big problems. They know it.
Well, I agree. That would be a perfect scenario to have that happen, you know, since they've driven the narrative to focus on him. And then if he's able to come out and, you know, see the light after that, realizing that he didn't have to go through all of that, if he'd only filed his affidavit. And that's, you know, again, that's I don't want people to do the shoulda, coulda, woulda thing. That's really the reason for my call.
You know, Ken, I've got as you've heard, because you participate in our daily show daily. And you know, I've got a man crush on Robert Barnes. Okay. And I listen to his other programs and stuff, have for a while. I'm very impressed with him. And I heard him say on his website here recently, he said, "I read everything everybody sends me." Really? Well, that's a nice step. So I was going to talk about it tomorrow over on the over on our regular show, but I'm going to suggest that I'm going to send a package to Barnes, very simplified, and then I'm going to ask all y'all to follow up with some sort of a comment on his webpage over there. It's vivabarneslaw.locals.com, and go, you know, like you need to pay attention to Roger's material. Roger Sells has the answer, however you want to phrase it. Something short and sweet. I don't want to belabor him with long emails, you know, but I'd like to get the impact of our listenership to let him know he needs to look at this, because he'll understand it real quick. Okay. I mean, I promise you. So
Roger that.
I heard him commenting the other day on all this mandate stuff, and he said, to do that, they've got to own your body. Yeah, Robert, would you like for me to show you how they do? How you gave them permission to? So we'll see how that goes.
Exactly.
Okay, well, if we get Robert Barnes' attention, everybody will know about it.
Well, it's something we can all hope for. And best way to preserve our freedoms is to help other people preserve theirs. So I think it's very admirable thing to be doing. Thank you very much, Roger.
Well, Ken, don't run off. We're right at the top of the hour. There's somebody else waiting. We're going to have a top of the hour break in a second. I'm glad you're on, because Ken is one of our newer students. You haven't been around very long, have you?
Not officially, but you've had my ear for a long time, but once I really started listening and found out what was going on, and it wasn't just another 30-page affidavit kind of thing, I instantly got involved. And you know my story. I did everything wrong, but I still was able. Yes, and that's what people have to understand. You don't have to worry about crossing your T's and dotting your I's. It's such a simple thing to do. A one-page letter removes you from slavery.
A one-sentence, one-page affidavit. So David Strait does 31. We do one. Which do you prefer?
Exactly. And why do people want to remain in their slavery? They just have to... Again, they have to take the wheel from those driving the narrative and drive the narrative themselves of being free to choose whom they will serve.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a quick question before we run out of time and Mike starts tripping the spot trigger again. Do you feel you've become empowered, and how much of a change has this had on your life in a short time?
Oh, absolutely empowered. There's no way to explain. It's like trying to tell somebody your dream. You know, you just can't do it. It's just, you know, to be free, you know, no matter what's going on around you, to know you're free to make your own decisions and choose your own destiny is something that it's hard to put into words.
Very few people have ever had it. There's a spot. Ken, thanks for calling. I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
All right. Blessings. Bye.
Thank you. Igual.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
there was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.